Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, and we travel around the country through NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Big shout out to the team down there. And at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns is BBM, Bummer Bib Media, 98.7 FM. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother 0457140550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. A voice for our people, so do utilise it. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Any topic you want to talk about, all ears here. And a big shout out to First Nation radio station across this daily country of ours. A beautiful black network, and all our yarns are strong. And we talk about our existence here in the 21st century and moving forward. And we are one big country here on the Big Island, and building bridges and making it strong here for our people. So do have your say, 1-800-422-416. All is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Like I said, voice for our people. Talk about what's happening in your life, with your organisation, with your family, with your mob. When you talk about young ones getting educated, going into university, or if you've got a brother out there who just started his own business, we want to hear from you. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. 1-800-422-416.
Southeast Australia, UN country, flows a river so clean, no white man did see. Came the English and the Irish from the old country, settled the great southern land. She starts from the coast, heads west inland, through the ranges and gorges and tall timber stands, then turns right around, heads back to the sea. But do she dances with me? Do the Tua, Tua, you'll find romance with the glimmering beauty. Come take a chance with the Tua River dance. Francis Flanagan, from Galway he came, Maria's first settler of Tua fame. Timothy Gannon from my Ireland shore, they began to farm the land. Bush rangers, gold mining stories were told, transporting goods on rough Tua roads. Floods and a drought all tend to impact.
River Dance. That's Jeff Ashman here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn Up is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So give us a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Right, we're going to catch up with Yarn now. Come to join me in the studio, Yarn with Kevin Sumpton, CEO and Director of the Australian National Maritime Museum, and talk about the Dufkin replica ship who's in Cairns today, I believe. A very good morning. How are you, Kevin?
Yeah, good, Trevor. Thank you for having me on the radio station today.
Thank you very much for coming in, my friend. So the Dufkin, the replica, that's here in Cairns, is it?
It's actually at the moment in Sydney at the National Maritime Museum.
Okay.
And the Maritime Museum is on Gadigal land, mm-hmm. by Gadigal waters in the Eora Nation. And we have that replica now as part of the collection of the Australian National Maritime Museum.
Okay. Now, we talked to Dufkin and then we talked Captain Cook. How you say, talk fork tongue. Captain Cook was not the first boat or ship endeavour that came to the shores of Australia. Dufkin was, I believe, yes?
Yeah,
is that the story?
164 years before Cook comes along the east coast of Australia, Dufkin comes in 1606. It leaves Bandam Island in the Indonesian archipelagos, mm-hmm. heads along the coast of today's Papua New Guinea. It doesn't realise that the Torres Strait is there, actually thinks that the Cape is connected to Papua New Guinea, and comes down about 300 kilometres down the coast of the Cape there, and has a number of points in which comes ashore, tries to get provisions, tries to get water, mm-hmm. and this is the first documented contact that we know of. 164 years before Captain Cook.
And sorry, who was the captain of the Dufkin?
Captain Jan Zoon. So he was operating for the Dutch East Indies Company. Mm-hmm. In 1606, the Dutch were in the Indonesian archipelago. They were trying to kick out the Portuguese. They were trying to take over the spice industry. Spices were worth more than gold in Europe at this time. Mm-hmm. So the spices in this part of the world, in Indonesia, were really why the Dutch were there. And they were exploring the coast and trying to see if there was other riches, things like gold, sure. other trade goods, and mm-hmm. that's what they hoped to find.
So if the Dufkin came to the Australian shore, 1606, when was the so-called date for Captain Cook?
So you're looking, Cook is 1770, April.
So we're 100 years later.
Yeah, 164 years. He's you know, the Dutch are there a lot earlier, and we suspect, even though we don't have documentative evidence,
sure.
the Portuguese were mostly there before the Dutch.
Okay, so and then when we have this information, where does information come from regarding putting their hand up, who was the first to arrive to the shore? I mean, the POMs would say something different.
Yeah, look, Trevor, that's a great question.
Mm.
This information was almost lost. So 1606, Captain Jan Zoon draws charts and writes a journal, mm. and they get lost. So they haven't been found. And then by accident, about 40 years ago, a researcher is in Austria, of all places, at mm-hmm. the library, yes. National Library, and it finds a copy of his journal and of his chart. And all of a sudden we realise that in 1606 the Dutch were on the shores of Australia, and had it not been for that happy accident, we'd never know this story.
Sure. So, well, Captain Cook claims that he was the one that discovered Australia. Not, is what we'd say.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. And so what was the contact, the first contact? How was it with the First Nation people of this country?
So it was contact at least two, possibly three places that we know of. It was bloody, that there was resistance. Captain Janszoon sent parties ashore to mainly get water. They'd been at sea for a month, so they run out of fresh water pretty quickly. And also a tactic of the Dutch at that time was they would regularly kidnap people from the local community and try to teach them Dutch in order to get them to be able to communicate with the local community. And what we understand is there may have been an attempt to kidnap somebody from the local community. That turned into a deadly fight. The crew of Dyfken's quite small, has a crew of 20 people. We know that 9 of the crew were killed, that the community...
With that first contact. Whereabouts exactly was that, do we know?
So that is in Wick country. So we're talking Pennefather River. So in that part of the world, we know that they came ashore and sought water. And there are at least 2, possibly 3 sites of conflict. And then the Dutch stayed in the area. So this is 1606. The Dutch stayed in the area, still charting this part of the world through to 1642. But very rarely did they come ashore. The lessons that they were taught in 1606 made them very circumspect about coming back. This was strong resistance.
Once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
To speak, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so in regard to the... So you could say that the Dutch discovered Australia.
I don't think they... Obviously, they didn't discover. I mean, we know community's been here 40, 60,000 years minimum.
In regard to white men.
White men. I think certainly Europeans finding this part of the world, the Dutch, we know... were one of the earliest from this documented material in Austria. The suspicion is the Portuguese, who were here in the 1490s, this part of the world, they were also in the archipelago of Indonesia. It's very unlikely that they didn't also bump into Australia.
Sure.
We just don't have the written documentative evidence.
Well, it's a big island, you know.
You can't miss it.
Thank you. And so what about the confirmation from England? Do they agree to this? Do they admit to this?
Look, I think, you know, it's been interesting, obviously, with 2020 and the anniversary of Cook's 250th arrival. There's a lot of mythology about Cook. There's, you know, he's obviously a great navigator and a great man in some regards. That British story is very much an East Coast Australia story. It's not a far North Queensland story. And the Dutch is also a big West Australian story. So you go around Australia and there are different perceptions about how important Cook is. And at the museum, we're a national museum, so we've acquired the Dyfken replica to try and put the record right, to say, you know, Dyfken is a very important part of Australian history, comes a long time before Cook, and Australians need to know that.
So does that throw history of Australia out the window then?
I think it asks you to rethink it. It asks you to think again about the relationship between Europeans and our Indigenous communities and Torres Strait Islander communities in particular. And certainly it's a very different story of engagement with the Dyfken, strong resistance from community. This is not traditionally the story that's told around Cook. So I think it's an important story for community to understand.
So, let the truth be told, you know what I mean? So when you're talking about England, you're talking about the universities of the world and the professors of the world. So this information, would be swept underneath the carpet, would it not?
I think it's just not...
egg on their face, so to speak?
Or, well, maybe, you know? Trevor, I think it's just not widely known. And that's the job of the museum. Our job is to take stories like this that maybe very few people know, and our job is to to put that in front of a lot more Australians and also people from around the world.
Sure.
To give a different perspective on what's going on in Australia, not in the 1770s.
Mm-hmm.
Here now we're talking about the beginning of the 17th century, 1606. We've got the Dutch in the waters around Australia, so it's a long time before Cook.
Okay. Well, we all know that it wasn't Terra Nullius. There were people here on the Big Island, First Nation people. So when we're talking Dutch, or we're talking, if we're talking Captain Janszoon or Captain Cook, when you come to the so-called island, you put the flag up to claim. Did Janszoon did that?
No.
No, he didn't.
No,
he was just coming to get water.
He was looking for gold. The Dutch were...
But water would be very important than gold at that point in time.
Absolutely essential. They've been at sea. They need supplies. They're coming for water. But his job really around New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, was to look for gold, look for trade opportunities.
So he would have come across First Nation people up there.
He would and did.
Yeah, and did.
And he didn't obviously find gold. But the Dutch continued to travel in the waters all around Arnhem Land, right the way down the Western Australia.
Mm.
So the other piece of mythology, the other myth-busting we're trying to do here is from 1606 to 1644,
mm-hmm.
38 years, three-quarters of the coast of Australia was charted by the Dutch.
Okay.
Cook comes in and does a little piece on the east coast. But the Dutch had done three-quarters.
And he wins the so-called trophy.
Yeah, and including Tasmania. The Dutch had been there. And so the Dutch story is not widely known. And what we're trying to do is give that more prominence.
Okay. So we're just going to Tasmania. There was an explorer, Tasman.
Abel Tasman.
Tasman.
Another Dutchman.
So that's why Tasmania is named after him.
Yes.
Well, Captain Cook can't claim that.
No.
Okay. So with this information, I mean, bringing it forward, here we are, the 21st century. We as First Nation people are still fighting for our rights and going closing the gaps in all aspects, you know. So you come to the table with this story here, get this story out and need to be told. I said Australia's got a history, black or white, good or bad.
Yeah, Trevor, that's important.
Yeah, that's important, you know what I mean?
The story that we know about the Dutch is just the Dutch words,
mm-hmm.
the Dutch documents. So we're working now with community,
mm-hmm.
The Wik community and the Ugamuti community, community.
Yes.
We want to hear their stories, their oral histories.
Well, every story's got two sides, hasn't it?
It has.
Thank you. Yep.
And we need to make sure that we have the voice of community.
Mm.
That the Dyfkin replica will be in Sydney Harbour, on Gadigal waters, but we want to be able to tell the community story because we know that the community oral history is strong and rich and remembers the Dutch coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be September sometime back around Weipa,
mm-hmm.
coming to listen to community and find out about their recollections, their history, because this is Australian history.
And that's a conversation that needs to be had, of course.
Does.
What's the conversation regarding England and the Dutch? Non-existent?
Well, no. Well, see, the English and the Dutch were at war for 200 to 300 years on and off.
This may reopen the war.
Where?
Restart.
I hope not, Trevor. I hope I'm not responsible for that. But this time of the year, they were rivals, you know?
Sure.
Go back to 16th, 17th century. They are trade rivals and they are trying to outdo each other.
Yep.
There's no love loss here. The British and the Portuguese were already in Indonesia in 1606 and the Dutch were there and were successful in pushing the Portuguese and the British out.
Okay.
So this is the beginning of the rise of the Netherlands as a big trading power.
Okay, fantastic. So with the replica of the Dyfkin, it's in Sydney at the moment, is it?
It is.
It's saleable? It is. Yep.
We sail it normally every week. The public, if they're in Darling Harbour, please come along, book your tickets.
Okay.
It's a fantastic...
Will it do the route that Captain Janszoon did?
It has before.
It has. Okay.
It's very small. It going back, I think, to around 2000, it went around Australia, circumnavigated Australia, actually went back to Amsterdam, which is incredible.
Whoa.
So it sailed some big distances. In coming years, we'd like to bring it back up to far north Queensland,
mm-hmm.
back to community. We'd have to work that out. It takes mm-hmm. a lot of planning for us to do that. But it would be a great story to bring that replica back up. to this part of the world.
There it is, fantastic. Well, open our eyes and regarding the white sails coming to our shores, Dufkin front and centre. And the Endeavour, still on the reef at this point in time, you would say.
Well, we're looking for the wreck at the moment, Trevor.
There you go. And there was the replica of the Endeavour in Cairns shores at the Mullen Jetty here in the marina. About 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's a long time since it's been to this part of the world.
All right, so thank you for the heads up and a good conversation, and there it is. Whichever boat came to the shores, there was the first people who were here to greet them.
That's right.
In more ways than one. So a beautiful conversation. Thank you very much, Kevin, for sharing that with us. Please do keep in touch, and we'd like to know how this conversation opens up, especially with the POMs at the table as well.
Thank you, Trevor. Much appreciated.
You take care, Kevin. All the best to you. Thank you. Deadly yarn, very important yarn, and talking about the discovery of the Big Island here, Australia, they call it, and we're the first people open to that conversation. And it's created what we are living in today as Australia. But we are one, we're moving forward, open for the conversation, ready for yarns, you mob. You maybe want to add to that conversation and share that story. And we are live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinja Country, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Baldry on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host of your daily program, National Talk Black, and ready for the yarn, you mob. Too deadly.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Don't worry, everything will be okay. Don't worry, there'll be brighter days. We'll see sunshine through the rain, and we all will smile again. Don't worry, everything will be okay. Don't be angry, you are not to blame.
Yeah, that's Back to Life, and we're back to the program here, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Otherwise, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, or our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Yarn up with the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinja Country, BBM98.7FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Oh, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Jade Johnson, Specialist Aboriginal Engagement Advisor at No More. So more support available for Indigenous people who have experienced sexual abuse as a child in an institution. On the line, Brother Jade, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, Trevor. Thank you very much for having me here. And I'd just like to follow protocol by acknowledging all the traditional owners of the land who are listening to us out there in the radio land. And, it's just a special shout-out to all the different mobs out there, freshwater, saltwater, desert and rainforest mobs. It's really important to acknowledge those people. And I must acknowledge my elders past and present. I'm a Yorta Yorta Gundijamara Wiradjuri man. I'd also like to acknowledge my elders past and present as well.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, my brother. Good acknowledgement. And look, the space you're working in, very important space. We're talking about more support available for Indigenous people who experience sexual abuse as a child institute, in an institution. So in regard to that, let's talk about the National Redress Scheme and what outcomes can be provided for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who were sexually abused in institutions.
Okay, well, thank you again. So I just want to explain out there to the listeners what is NOMORE and what can we do. So we are a national community legal centre, and we provide free legal advice to survivors of institutional child sexual abuse. So we can advise survivors about the National Redress Scheme or other legal options that may include civil law action as well. As we mentioned before, NOMORE is a free legal service, so we don't charge for anything, and we are a confidential service, so we really respect the privacy and confidentiality of all of our survivors out there.
How long have you been operating for, Jade?
Well, we've actually been operating for currently the last 3 years, and I believe we've got another 6 to 7 years to go until this National Redress Scheme is kind of wrapped up in that regard. So,
well, very sad to say, but you would be busy, my friend.
Very busy. I'm working down here in Melbourne. We do have 4 offices around Australia. We have an office in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth. But we've got clients all over Australia. And it just goes to show, you know, we're still addressing past legislations and policies that have impacted our families and communities out there. So basically, we were first established in 2013 to help people who were thinking of engaging in the Royal Commission into institutional responses to child sexual abuse. Since then, we've helped over 15,000 survivors.
Yes.
And we are a non-for-profit legal centre. So, yeah, there might be people out there that want to access a private legal firm. That's their prerogative, but technically we provide free legal advice. Those private firms will actually charge a percentage of someone's compensation, so we really want to make that very transparent. We are a free and independent legal service. So you mentioned that the National Redress Scheme.
Yes.
So I'll explain what that is. So the National Redress Scheme was set up because many children were abused in Australian institutions, and this National Redress Scheme actually helps hold those institutions accountable for this abuse and helps people who have gained experience in this abuse to gain access to redress. So the scheme can provide a redress payment up to $150,000, and that actually includes counselling support and a direct personal response from the institution if the person chooses. And that $150,000 that is awarded is actually only in the most extreme circumstances, Trevor. Most survivors out there are usually getting anywhere from $70,000 to $80,000, but that's just the National Redress option. So basically, who can apply for the National Redress Scheme?
Yep.
So if anyone was abused in any institution, now my apologies for the language that I'm going to be using out there. I understand it could be very triggering for our mobs out there. But for example, an institution could be classed as a mission, a school, or a foster care, or an orphanage, or a similar type of home for children. So if you think you might be eligible for National Redress, and you should really get legal advice about your compensation options. So we do hear a lot of stories of lawyers charging people to access the National Redress Scheme, but basically that's the main, there is no cost if you contact our service.
So, Jay, we're talking about compensation, aren't we?
One of multiple access points for our mobs to access, but there are other local services in local areas which people can also access, and we usually call them redress support services. So in Queensland, you may have heard of other names such as Relationships Australia, Bravehearts, the MICA projects, so the Lotus Support Services, the Centre Against Sexual Violence, the Cape York and Gulf Remote Area Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Care Advisory Association, Link Up Queensland, the Blue Knot Foundation, Sexual Assault Counselling, Childwise, Men's Line, and People with Disability, and Care Leavers Australasia Network, and also the Child Migrants Trust.
That's so many organisations there, eh?
But for our listeners in your Northern Territory, there's also Relationships Australia, Dana Dilba Health Service, the Blue Knot Foundation, Also, Sexual Assault Counselling Australia. There's a 1-800 number. Bravehearts, Childwise, Men's Line again, People with Disability, No More, and Care Leavers Australasia and Child Migrants Trust. There's a lot more other services out there, such as In Good Faith Foundation and the Healing Foundation, and Children and Young People with Disability. So, Trevor, as we understand, everyone's story is different and unique,
yes.
And so will the legal options that are actually provided. So it's really great that actually that this advice can be tailored to each person, because it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
No.
And also in regards to what does making an application to the scheme involve? So once again, you have a legal appointment with our lawyers, and we've got Aboriginal engagement staff who can also provide cultural support. So we've got male and female staff members available in our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander team.
We That's also important.
Do have financial counselling services and counselling support, because we understand this can be a very traumatic journey
exactly.
for some people, and other people will require those immediate supports, such as counselling support, cultural support, or linking into various other services to help look after the health and well-being of survivors.
Mm.
I understand I haven't given you much time to ask me questions there, Trevor, because I'm just firing away.
Yeah, you're on a roll.
You can tell. So
Big
if
time.
You've got any other questions out there, please fire away.
Yeah, Jade, can you hear me? No,
hello?
I lost Jade. Yeah, lost Jade. We'll try and get Jade back and finish our conversation. That's Jade Johnson, his name is, Specialist Aboriginal Engagement Advisor at No More. And you can check him at nomore.org.au. This is more support available for Indigenous people who experience sexual abuse as a child in an institution. So it's a very important conversation, and support is needed. A lot of our people have been abused sexually, and it's the need to close that space in regard to fixing it and helping our victims, so to speak, so-called culprits. So I think will probably be no longer with us, but there may be compensation in regard in the financial sense. But we'll try and get Jade back, continue our conversation. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, and that's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, and that deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text our brother 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Yeah, Brother Jade, we'll try and get him back. He can talk, don't worry about that. And he did state that fact, but they have a few more questions there. I want to talk with Jade and see if he's there. Jade, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. No, on a roll, you were fantastic, and a lot of information, very important information. I've got a few questions here. But talking about the victims coming forward and support, and very all confidential, which is fantastic. But the so-called culprits, a lot of them would not be with us today.
Well, that's true.
So we're not talking jail time, are we?
No. So for some people, there's actually many different legal options.
Mm.
So usually, first option, as we're talking about, is the National Redress Scheme.
Yes.
And then there's also a civil litigation. So that's when you're actually suing the perpetrator or the institution. And like you've mentioned, in some instances, the perpetrator has passed away.
Mm.
So for some people, that may not be an option to actually pursue a civil litigation. And technically speaking, the National Redress application usually takes anywhere from 6 to 12 months to finish a paper application and for that information to be reviewed. A civil litigation option may actually take 2 to 3 years because it's your whole life story that needs to be documented
and
all the other documentation to help prove that information. And for some...
Jada, how's the success of some of the applicants?
Some applicants actually... can apply or successfully. Majority of applicants can see a turnaround within 6 to 12 months.
Mm.
For some people, it's some form of justice.
I mean, the scar is emotionally, mentally, if not physically, but financial support would be great regarding their families.
Well, that's right. And for some people, it's just not a good option because it's opening up old wounds.
Yes.
And so especially it's good to acknowledge that in some areas extra support services aren't available. So for some people, the only supports that are available are via phone or video conferencing instead of face-to-face support, because we understand privacy and confidentiality becomes an issue when you
want to. Is the support is not only for the victim but for the families as well?
Well, that's correct. Majority of survivors, it's actually their partner and their families that actually do know the story, the full story.
Yes.
So in some instances, we actually, or in most instances, we always allow a client to let us know which support person they would also like to attend that meeting.
Yes.
Because that's the thing, we don't want to re-traumatise our client or community members, and we like to have that trauma-informed approach where we really do take those cultural instructions and verbal and body language cues from people, especially because it could take a few appointments just to get someone's story down. So
exactly. Jade, how do they contact you again? Sorry.
Well, they can contact No More Legal Service. There's actually four different offices, so we've got a few different numbers there. I'll fire away with the Brisbane office.
Yep.
So our number up in Brisbane is 07-3218-4500.
Mm-hmm.
And that office is actually located at level 20, 144 Edward Street in Brisbane. Down here in Melbourne, we're located at level 15 at 607 Burke Street. Our number here is 03-8663-7400. Over in Perth, our office is located at level 5 at 5 Mill Street, and the number there is 08-6117-7244, and our number up in the Sydney office is 02-8267-6400.
Fantastic. And otherwise, they can go to your webpage, nomore.org.au.
That's correct. That's Nomore, that's KNOMORE.org.au. And we also do have a free access, a free advice line as well there, Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone does have any other questions that they need to ask before they start the process, it's really good to contact us on our 1-800 number. So that's 1-800-605-762.
Beautiful. Jade, thank you very much. Very important conversation. And look, to our mob out there, reach out, and the support is there for you. Thank you very much, Jade.
Thank you very much, and thank you to all our listeners out there. Take care and have a deadly day.
Take care. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. That's Jade Johnson, his name is, Specialist Aboriginal Engagement Advisor at No More. So do check him out, nomore.org.au, and you can have a conversation, very private conversation as well, of course. Thinking of you, Mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Got a call online. Marshall's on the line. Marshall, good morning.
Hey, how are you, Trevor?
Yeah, good, Marshall. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brisbane.
Brisbane, all right. Thanks, Marshall. So what are you going to yarn about, my friend?
Oh, I was just interested in listening to the conversation that you just had about sexual abuse in communities and institutions and all the rest of it.
Yes.
I found living in communities for 18, 19, 20-odd years, and sexual abuse is just rife in communities.
Yes.
And I was just wondering what compensation is available to children that have been abused just in communities, not in institutions, but just in communities. And
well, I think it's all the above. The conversation I just had with Jade Johnson, Specialist Aboriginal Engagement Advisor at No More, it's across the board, institution, communities, all the above, churches, yes.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, and because it has to be recognised, and it's rife in community, and I've worked in Warrabinda, I've worked in Lockhart River, I've worked in Kalinyama, I've worked in Doomadgee, and I've spent 18 years of my life, I'm a white man, and I've spent a lot of time in community over my life, and it's a rife. It's rife in community, and it's totally hurting and
Of course it is.
Disgraceful. But it's taboo. It's
and that's why we need to have these conversations, especially on on First Nation Radio Station.
Hello, Trevor.
You there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
That's why it's very important to have these conversations, because we need to bring the victims front and centre, you know, and they need to be punished for it.
Oh, definitely. And I'm a gay man, and I lived with a Indigenous boy for 5 years, and the stories that he told me were horrifying, absolutely horrifying. And
has he reached out? Has he got support?
Yes, he has.
Mm. Has he travelled in Marshall? Has he travelled in Marshall?
And the perpetrator, which was one of his own, Trevor, which is, upsets me so much. It was one of his own.
Sure.
Because it was taboo, and he was imprisoned for what he'd done to my partner, and it was devastating. And, and I, living in community for 18 years...
And how's your partner travelling, Marshall?
Sorry?
How's your partner travelling?
He's okay. Mm. He hasn't been ever compensated. His perpetrator was jailed, so he's entitled to compensation. He is entitled to compensation. He now is somewhat frowned upon because he sent his perpetrator to prison. I don't care whether you're black, white, or brindle, or Chinese, or where you come from, or who you are. You don't perpetrate against children.
Exactly.
And it is so wrong, Trev.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And I, as you probably don't know or remember, you and I had many conversations when I was in Cairns. I lived in Cairns, and I.
Okay, and vaguely. Yes. Coming back. Yes.
Yeah, it's coming back vaguely. Yeah, well, I lived with somebody that was abused as a child, and it's devastating.
Of course
and
it is.
And his perpetrator, which was one of his own kind, went to jail.
Yeah.
And it was only because he spoke up.
Mm.
But a lot of, I found as well, Trev, working and living in community, over my life. I mean, I'm a 51-year-old man, and I've spent over 20-odd years of my life in community.
Mm.
And seeing what I've seen and listening to what I've had to listen to is just devastating.
Of course it is. It
really is. And the perpetrators, they need to be held accountable.
Exactly. And that's why we have conversations with people like Jade Johnson, who are reaching out for our mob out there. I've got to keep moving, Marshall. Thank you very much. That's Marshall calling from Brisbane, having his say regarding sexual abuse on children, which has got to stop, and victims need to be pulled forward, and they need to be punished for what they've done. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Now, technology brings better health care to one of the most remote communities in the world. We're going to talk and have a yarn with Dr. Jill Benson, AM, a medical doctor at Spinifex Health Service. On the line, Dr. Jill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you very much. Where are you based, Doctor?
I'm currently in Adelaide. I fly to Jindindara about once a month and do telehealth in between times. But I actually live in Adelaide.
Okay. Now, we're talking about the one of the most remote communities in the world, and that's Jindindara you're talking about, yes?
Yes, it is. Yep, yep. It's about 700 kilometres east-northeast of Kalgoorlie, if you can imagine that.
Sure, yeah. So right in the middle of the Big Island, you could say, yes?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's in the Great Sandy Desert. Beautiful, beautiful sand.
Lovely. So you're talking about technology brings better healthcare. So what technology are we talking about? And this is great news, but it is the 21st century. It should be front and centre.
It should. I completely agree. Mm. So Chundunjara has only recently gotten phones, for instance, mobile phones.
Oh, sad. I mean,
landlines, but they've got mobile phones. So that's been a thing. And the technology that I use is just a computer. So every medical office these days has got a computer in it.
Mm.
And wherever I am, because I travel a lot around the rest of Australia as well, I also have a computer and we just talk to each other. So there in Junajara, I'm in Adelaide or Nhulunbuy or Norfolk Island or wherever I am, with good Wi-Fi. And now that the NBN is also working, we can I can do clinics.
Yes.
So the
clinics online with the patients, so like a Zoom conversation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Using Zoom yes. or Teams, we use, and so the patient is in the clinic in Junajara with the remote area nurse or the Aboriginal health worker, and I'm wherever I am. And we have a discussion. If I need the nurse to listen to their chest, look in their ear, take their blood pressure, do an ECG, you know, do all those things, they do them and they can email them to me or show them to me.
Yes.
It's worked really well. And the other thing that having the internet has brought to somewhere like Chundunjara, so the people in the desert region are often quite mobile. They move around from community to community. So having my health record also means that when people have been to Warburton, for instance, or Yalata, I can see what medication they were on, what investigations they've had, if they've been in the hospital. It's great. It's such good continuity of care. Mm. Both of those things bring continuity of care that we haven't been able to have in the past.
And look, it's so very important because you're out remote. That doesn't mean that you don't get the services. So, and you need the services. It is part of the human rights for regarding health. So it's great that it's happened, Doctor.
Mm, it is. And because I know the people, they still joke with me. You know, what Western Desert, Western Desert people are particularly funny. And so they
say, mock, you know, mock.
They have all sorts of jokes with me.
Yes.
And, you know, one woman put a tooth right up next to the camera. She said, "The tooth hurts. Can you pull it out?" And I said, "Well, not from here, okay."
And that's a beautiful relationship, Doctor. And if you've got that jokes at the table, that means you are on the inside of the circle, you could say, Doctor.
Oh, I feel so blessed. I've been going out to this region for 20 years.
Good.
So,
we love what you do, and you sound very passionate about what you do. So, it's a great bridge builder, you could say, in more ways than one.
Yeah, it is, but it's a two way thing.
Of course,
you know,
it is.
It's beautiful country, beautiful people, and I'm doing something that I think is incredibly worthwhile, as you say, for equity of healthcare, for our brothers and sisters. So, it's a good thing. It's good in all ways.
Come again. How long have you been working with our mob in the communities?
Oh, I've been working in communities for maybe 25 years. I've been going out to the Western Desert for about 20 years. Yeah,
yeah, beautiful. Well, we love what you do, and we love it when our mob are being looked after. So thank you very much. A very important yarn, a deadly yarn, and technology is happening in remote communities. Too deadly.
Yep. Beautiful.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Dr. Jill Benson, AM, Medical Director at Spinifex Health Service, and talking about technology which brings better healthcare to one of the most remote communities in the world, Junajara. So fantastic. It's 650 kilometres northeast of Kalgoorlie, she reckons, in the great Victoria Desert in Western Australia. So yarn up strong, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Only got about 5 minutes squeezing the yarn. We've got Selwyn on the line. Selwyn, good morning.
Good morning, your brother. Link up's on the corner of Spence and Baker Street, across from...
Here in Cairns? Yep.
The Redress Centre is next door, brother.
Good. Thank you, my brother.
And on what Marshall was saying, I agree with Marshall. You know, when we talk about institution, not necessarily has to be a boys' or girls' or a dormitory. I reckon that institution has in reserve, because after all, it's like a detention. It was a detention centre, and of course the government owe every resident on the missions and the reserve a duty of care. And
yes,
the main reason, and another bloody good reason, I feel like swearing, is because, brother, we were under the act.
We have no say
on the children, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. You take care. That's someone that regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to that time where Murray got to sign off your mob, but thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And the program is National Talk Black. I'm the host, Trevor Tim Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, and come to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. Your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. But look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic. Abide by the rules and look after yourself and your family. Too deadly.